good to be here this evening, and God's good, amen?
Amen.
And I hope, however your week or your day has gone, that you're still rejoicing in the fact that we have a risen Savior, amen? And praise the Lord for the God we serve. We have been on deputation now, just since the beginning of this year, so 6 months now, and time is flying. And God's been good to us, and it is a blessing being able to travel, because we really get the privilege of being able to minister and do it on the road, and we get to see what God's doing all across our country. And he's still active, praise the Lord. And we are glad to be able to be here this evening, and got to meet most of y'all so far, and look forward to maybe talk to you a little bit after the service. But we are the Osmar family, my wife Eternity over here, and then my oldest to youngest is Elizabeth, Declan, and Lily. And some of you are very familiar with Lily. She has made herself known to you, so we've been driving a little bit to get here, so they have a little bit of energy, so hopefully there's a little grace there. But they're adjusting. They're doing really good. The Lord has blessed us with some good kids. But we have, like I said, we're sent out of Bethany Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, deputation for just 6 months now, and we're called to the Czech Republic. And some of you know John and Emily Reddick, and they labor there for 30 years faithfully. I mean, they labor and ministering in parts of Europe are much different than maybe ministering in parts of South America or Africa or parts of Asia. The spiritual darkness that is just the humanism that is just prevalent there, and in the Czech Republic specifically, they have one of the highest percentage of population that has completed some form of secondary school. So they very highly value education, and we're not going to be able to go over there and just door knock like we do. Number one, we don't know the language yet. That's something that we're working on. But number two, that's just not normal. Right? They would not receive you in that way. And we might go over there and the Lord lead us to do it, and we find out we're wrong, and praise the Lord for that. It's just a little bit different way. People, they're not just good. No, in the Midwest, at least, or the Great Plains where we're from in Oklahoma, Eternity is talking about this. She tells this story often. They planted a church in Oregon when she was younger, and then the Lord called them, Pastor Rick, her dad, to take over Beth Haven in 2008. And they were kind of surprised, even just from within the U.S., the cultural shift that's there. People are much more willing to just, in the checkout lane of Walmart, start pouring out their life's issues to you, and, even whooping their kids in public, all those different things that, in the Northwest you just don't do, right? You get in trouble. So, of course, there's going to be some cultural differences that we have to overcome and adjust to. But we're looking forward to the Lord showing us those things and us kind of digging in and laboring. But I say that to get back to my point. The Reddicks were there for 30 years and labored hard ground. Brother Vladimir, and we'll watch the video here in a second before we go too far. At the end of the video, they were reaching out and ministering to him for 10 years before he got saved. And in fact, his wife is still not saved. In fact, most of the men over there, except for one man, there's only one man that has a saved wife there. Here in the States, you usually have women running churches. Over there, they can't get their wives in the church because they have the same problem that many other people there face. They say that they don't see their need. They don't see why they're bad people. And you compare them now to where they were 40 years ago, 60 years ago. You have World War II, you have communism that reigned for 40 years there. They are good people compared to that, right? The leaders they had, the things that they as a people endured, they are good, right? Comparatively. But compared to this, compared to the standard, compared to God, we'll never be that standard. So that's what they need to see, and to them, they don't see a need to listen to this, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. But that's just the kind of the context as we watch this video. Just share a little bit about Eternity and our testimonies, and how the Lord kind of brought us to where we are, and a little bit of the men will share a little bit. So the Reds were there for 30 years, and Lord called them off. So we're were kind of stepping into where they were. Very privileged situation, I understand that. Very unique situation, but we're glad we get, the Lord has let us do it. We are glad that he's chosen us to do that and called us. So, brother, if you could go ahead and play that.
The Czech Republic, also known as Czechia, has a deep and fascinating history, a vibrant culture, and resilient people. Its first known inhabitants came to the area in 4 BC. Since then, those in the Bohemian lands have seen their fair share of tragedy, conflict, and oppression. From Slavic paganism to Roman Catholicism, and then state-mandated atheism, the spiritual history of this land is somber. And though there has now been considerable economic and religious freedom since the fall of communism in 1989, the country's economy has doubled, whereas its people have remained spiritually impoverished. Well, it's hard to gather accurate data on such a topic. Many groups consider the Czech Republic to be in the top 10 irreligious countries of the world, with many polls putting them at or near the top. Hello, my name is Ethan Oswar. I was privileged to be born into a Christian family, and unfortunately, I made a false profession of salvation at a young age. It was a mental acknowledgement of Christ, void of true repentance, based on pressure outside of Holy Spirit conviction. I held on to this false profession for years. God would convict me, yet I would cling to this memory of having prayed a prayer. As time went on, the conviction about my soul's condition grew. June 7th, 2007, I finally humbled myself and admitted that I was completely, 100%, without a doubt, lost. I called upon the name of the Lord and accepted Christ as my Savior. And now, I am completely, 100%, without a doubt, saved by Jesus' blood. As a young teenager, while attending a summer Bible camp in Beaver, Oklahoma, God brought me under conviction about His will for me to serve Him. I distinctly remember God calling me into ministry and surrendering to that call during an evening service. While a field or specific direction wasn't given, I knew that He wanted me to preach. So, I started serving by doing whatever the Lord allowed me to do. In the course of time, God brought my wife and me together and directed us to serve on staff at Bethany Baptist Church for the past 8 years. In mid-2023, my wife and I started to pray that God would call a family to continue in the ministry of John and Emily Reddick, and we made ourselves available if God so chose to send us. At the beginning of November 2023, God made it apparent through preaching at our men's retreat and confirmed by counsel from my spiritual leadership that His will for my family was to minister in the Czech Republic.
Hello, my name is Eternity Aspar. I'm a third-generation Christian. I had the honor of growing up in a pastor's home. Growing up in a pastor's home, I learned very quickly the right words to say and the right things to do. I made a false profession of faith at a young age. I wanted to make my parents happy, and I knew that doing that would make them happy. Unfortunately, I had a head knowledge of God, but no heart knowledge. Growing up, I clung to the false profession of faith, hoping it would be enough for me. As I got older, I quickly realized I was not saved. However, I believe Satan's lie that if I got saved now, I would embarrass my parents, who faced disappointment from my church family. One night, in September of 2009, we had a college group come in. They sang and gave their testimonies. As they sang, the conviction I had lived with became unbearable. I wanted the joy they sang about. I wanted the peace they so obviously had. On the way home from church, I realized I did not care what anyone else thought about me getting saved. I decided I would not go to hell for anyone else's opinion. When I got home, I went to my mother and father and bowed my head and accepted Christ as my Savior. The peace I so desperately wanted was finally mine, and I understood the joy of the Lord.
God has blessed us with a truly remarkable opportunity. The Reddicks have established a solid church with a zealous group of faithful believers. However, they are without a pastor. God has called us to fill that need, to go to the Czech Republic, to be a witness, and share the gospel of the country in deep spiritual darkness. And as God works, teach and train Bible-believing Baptists that will continue in the Word with the end goal of training up pastors, as God calls them. In God's time, we will see the church in Prague with a national pastor, and see more churches planted in Czechia. Please pray for the Osborne family and the people of the Czech Republic.
I'm John Reddick, this is my wife, Adelaide. We just want to encourage you to prayerfully consider supporting the Aswar family, that they may quickly get to the field and be about the work that God has called them to do.
Dear brothers and sisters, most of you know Brother Reddick and his wife and his family. They were serving here faithfully for 30 years, and we are very thankful for them. During those years, our church grew, but we still don't have anyone who would be called to preach full time. So please, we will be happy to have here your servants, Ethan and Eternity.
When we have the Osbros are coming to Czech Republic, we were thrilled. And God, I couldn't imagine how zealous they would be to serve here.
Byli právě ve stanově podporu, že ty lidi nám opravují, protože tím navážou na práci Reddickovi, tak dělám tady důležitou práci a díky mi já jsem zase.
We are in need of someone to be in full-time ministry. I'm praying to God to help you to do everything what is necessary to come here among us.
We are really excited and happy that Brother Ethan and Sister Eternity and obey your code.
So, if you can support them in any way, that would be a true blessing to us.
Vám vám můžeme do tu práci a potu.
We are very thankful for your support.
So that is the gist of it, and I do want to share a little bit more about myself and more about the country past what the video shares there. But if you'll turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 12 first, and I share this verse almost at every church that we're with, just because this is actually the first verse I shared with the church there in Prague, because I did struggle with the call. It wasn't just, you know, it was a period of time where the Lord was working on my heart, and this verse kind of really just, in a nutshell, what missionaries do in Genesis chapter 12. And it says in verse number 1 there, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from my father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And that's what the Lord did to us. I mean, it wasn't quite as distinct as this verse was to Abram. But the Lord told us, hey, you're going to serve me, but you're going to do it elsewhere. And I'll talk a little bit more about that struggle I had with the call here in a moment. But just about me, our sending church is in Oklahoma City, Bethany Baptist Church. And that's where I was born. My dad's half Indonesian. My mom was actually born in Indonesia as well, but she's American. Her parents are missionaries over there. But I was born in Oklahoma City, so I'm an Okie, amen. In fact, I was born in Baptist Hospital. I'm more expressive, so I am legit, okay? And but raised in church and taught the truth from a young age, amen. And King James Church, local independent Baptist Church, amen. Strong on doctrine, all those things. But you know as well as I do that just because you're in a good church doesn't mean you're going to grow, right? You have to humbly seek after those things and apply them in your life. And the video mentioned I made a false profession, but even after that false profession, I had learned so well how to do church that I was still kind of just relying on the muscle memory of Christianity, right? That's a sad testimony to have, but that's the fact. And James 1:22, turn there with me as well. James chapter 1, verse 22. And if you're not sure what that verse is, if you've been in church, you'll very quickly recognize this verse. But there's a good part of this verse and a bad part, and really the bad part is kind of the more applicable part of the verse that I followed after as a young believer. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right? We ought to not just come to church and hear the word preached, but be coming here looking for what the Lord wants to teach us, what he wants us to change, what he wants to encourage us in. But then it goes on and it says, deceiving your own selves, right? Not hears only deceiving your own selves. In other words, hearing it, being, I'd like to put it this way, we almost, as someone who grew up in church, I enjoy good preaching, right? I mean, if you have visitors or someone that hasn't grown up in church, the kids who haven't been raised in that environment, and they have a hard time sitting still. But it's just because they're not used to it, right? But, you know, someone who grew up in church, I can sit still, I can listen to a sermon, I can enjoy it almost in the flesh, if you know what I mean. Like, where my ears are being tickled, I'm enjoying the good preaching, but I'm not taking hold of it. I'm just being a hearer. And really, I'm deceiving myself. And I did that for a lot of my time as a young believer. I was deceived in the true spiritual condition that I had in my life. Not that I wasn't saved. I mean, I took care of that. But the walk with God was not where it should have been. The time in prayer, the time in my word, I mean, in sincerely, honestly, seeking after God's face in prayer, seeking after what he has for me in his word, man, I was deceived in that. I mean, I was going to church, I was serving in ministries, I was doing all sorts of things, but my Christianity lacked depth. I lacked a true walk with God, and really my Bible intake and my prayer life were really non-existent for far too long, and I seemed to get by, right, getting by, without a true, close relationship with him. But you know, here's the thing, if you're not feeding on his word, you can only get so far before you start starving, right? And you might think, you know, I'm passing off pretty well, but you all will reap what you sow, or you will not reap what you don't sow. Maybe that's a better way to say it in this context. But thankfully, God is patient with us, amen. And I mentioned this. I every day I praise the Lord for his grace, his mercy, and his long sufferings. I need all three of them constantly, amen. And he was patient with me. I praise the Lord that we have a God who's patient. And even if we fail, you know, he lets us get up, he lets us repent and return to him and continue on. And the Lord did that many times for me, allowed me to grow, and we spent the past 8 years on staff at our church and was able to serve there, get a lot of hands-on experience, and the Lord was still patient with me and allowed me to grow and even in that, because even on staff, I maybe didn't even have the right attitude in my heart that I should have had. And was patient with me in my marriage and allowed me to make mistakes. And my wife gave me mercy and forgave me and allowed me to grow in that way too. And the Lord's just been good and working and as we prepare to move overseas, just looking back and all that and seeing God being so gracious, preparing us for what he has next for us. And I'm thankful that he allows us to make mistakes so that we can try again. And God still says, yes, you can serve me. And isn't it great that we serve a God who allows us to serve him? He allows us, you know, it might not be a big, crazy thing like moving your family across the country. And I'm not saying that to lift myself up. We're only standing before you because of God opening doors for us and nudging us along and helping us along. But whether it's, you know, something you just did, or whether maybe it's just something small, a little way to share God's love with someone, or share your testimony, or serve within the church. And praise the Lord, God lets us do those things. And we sometimes get it twisted. We sometimes get burdened with busyness, and we kind of fall out of love with God because we get started focused on ourselves and our problems and our flesh and all those things, but then God kind of bumps us upside the head and gives us another chance to focus on him. Amen. And so we've been blessed and God has allowed us to be where we are right now. And I can't remember if it's mentioned, I don't think it's mentioned in the video, but in early or beginning of 2023, the church there that the Reddicks had planted in Prague, they sent Bethaven a letter, basically saying, hey, the Reddicks are coming off the field. Would you send a missionary to us? Which we've never received a letter like that before. I don't know if y'all have, but a very odd thing to receive. So it was like, okay, I mean, we're not going to tell them no. We'll pray about it. And so I prayed, and then middle of the year is when I actually started praying, or earnestly started praying. It's kind of sad to put it that way, but I was like, all right, let's get serious about this, because God hasn't expressly said no, and he hasn't called someone, so let's get after it. And then closer to the end of the year, the Lord just worked several things together. We have our ministry, and the Lord used every single one of those messages in the call, and my calling, and then both my pastors, God used them, and then I had a close friend in the ministry that God used, and he shared some truth with me. And God made that calling sure, and I knew without a doubt that's what God would have me to do. And if you want me to spend some more details, I'll be glad to share afterwards about that. But I asked God. I asked him. I said, Lord, I want the same assurance that you gave me when I got saved about this call. Because I don't want to go over there, because honestly, Prague's a beautiful country. I mean, it's an international destination. I don't want to step into this because it's convenient. Because it would have been convenient for me to just, without knowing, just like, yeah, I mean, my pastors think it'd be a good fit. I could, you know, they need someone. Man, I want to go over there and last, amen. I want to go over there and rest in the assurance that this is where God wants me to be. And the Lord gave that to me. I praise the Lord for it. So at the end of November, we were able to go over there, take a survey trip, and Lord pieced these things together for us. We were able to get really, really cheap tickets to go over there. And to go over there, and we spent, 14 days, or maybe it was a little bit less than that, but around 14 days over there, I forget now. And we got to see the country and travel around a little bit, and God gave peace while we were there, you know. And then we got to meet the church and meet the people, and God gave peace again. They just welcomed us in. And, I wish I could take credit for what they said at the end of the video there, but they recorded that after us meeting them, and they sent that in, and man, that's an encouragement for us every time we see it. I just want to be honest with you. But God has just really pieced every single aspect of this together, gave us assurance and peace in every step of the way, and I praise the Lord that he's given that, because I've asked, and overanalyze things sometimes, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But as we were taking our survey trip, we had to come back. I mean, there had to be an end, and you know, we didn't have visas or money or our kids. Amen. Two of those are important, but it was a blessing to be there. And there's 1.3 million people there in Prague, and just a single good church, as far as we know. You know, praise the Lord if we get over there and we stumble across another brother or sister that somehow we did not know is over there that believes like we do. But as far as we know, there's only one good church for the entire city. And the capital city, the largest city there, the Czech Republic. And Lord's let us be a part of that work. And the country has been through a lot. The video mentioned and showed some imagery about what they've been through. And I'm not a history buff. But I've tried to at least familiarize myself kind of with what they've been through recently. And it is interesting what they have been through. And they are skeptical, but maybe that's not the word I'm looking for. They're cautious. They're maybe a little untrusting because if you're familiar with the history of World War I and then leading up into World War II, I mean, several European countries, England, Italy, and France, they got together and they tried to appease Hitler and gave away a portion of Czechoslovakia to Hitler without Czechoslovakia being present. And they actually, if you go to a World War II monument in the Czech Republic, they list the start date as 1938, which is a year earlier than what textbooks would teach, because that's when their land was given away. It's called the Munich Agreement. They call it the Munich Betrayal. So they had that happen in their country, and it is a very interesting country because they're certainly European, don't get wrong, but I mean, you can conceal carry there. You can, if you want to conceal carry, they have arms manufacturing there. They have a lot of freedom of religion, a lot of freedoms there, and just because what they've gone through has kind of shaped their personality and what they've been through. And then right after Hitler's defeat, you have communism for 40 years, almost immediately after. So again, they've gone through these things, and to them, where they're at right now, man, they're doing pretty good. In fact, it is interesting that Prague specifically has one of the lowest, is one considered one of the safest cities to live in the world. On paper, like crime rate. So you go to someone and you talk to them about their need for Jesus, they don't see it. I mean, really, they do not see their need. We were there at the end of November. European countries, Germany is probably most famous for these Christmas markets, right? Czechia has them as well. And so they actually set up one at the end of November. We got to go visit before we left on our survey trip at the end of November. And it smells amazing. You got these, all these stalls and whatnot. There's some Italian ladies that were giving away samples of prosciutto, and we helped them get rid of those. But they had a big Christmas tree set up, and they had a nativity scene. I mean, they had a manger there with a baby in it. As I go, well, did they know who that is? Yeah, actually, if you ask them, who's that in the manger, they'll say, that's baby Jesus. He delivers presents on Christmas. I mean, this is a fairy tale. I mean, this is not just a recent, I mean, this is a several centuries old story that baby Jesus delivers presents Christmas. So, I mean, you have paganism. 4 BC is the earliest known inhabitants and reported the able reference in history. So you have paganism, you have the Roman Church that comes in, and the Holy Roman Empire rules and rules. And some of you might know John Huss, so he comes and he wars the Hussites. Jan Hus is the name that they would, his a Czech name, but Jan Hus warred against them. And then you have, of course, the more recent history. So all that has led to a very atheistic country. They're very humanistic. But I will say this, the silver lining, and this is what David would say. He's the younger man at the end of the video. He got saved while he was in college. He would say most Czech, younger Czechs, his age and younger, would be considered agnostics. They're not hardline atheists, you know. But they don't know if there's a God. They're not saying there isn't, but they're not looking. they're not interested. They don't see their need. And, you know, we can say that about Americans as well, can we? We can say that about some Christians as well. We've kind of, sometimes we enter parts of life where we've just kind of punched our ticket and we're cruising along. I can certainly look back in my life and see that attitude. But that's the atmosphere, right? Very atheistic. Again, the Reddits labored there for 30 years. And I mean, praise the Lord, they've seen souls saved, but it's not a booming congregation. Right now, there's 7 faithful members. There's more that attend than that. There's some guests that come from Bible studies and whatnot. But membership-wise, 7 members. And that's because, again, they don't see the need. Now, praise the Lord, God's word still works. Amen. And we're going to go over there, and we're going to give people a chance to hear the gospel and make a decision. And we're going to labor, and we're gonna see people of God's timing saved. Amen. But it is going to be a little bit slower and different process than what Eternity and I are used to of outreach here in the States. And as we look at that challenge of being a hard European country, I'm reminded that God's going to keep his promise in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He says, faithful is he that calls you, who will also do it. And that's kind of one of the reasons I was so... maybe I struggled with the call because, like, Lord, I use this word kind of like Moses making excuses, you know, talking to a burden, arguing with the Lord, you know, Lord, I don't see how I can do this. I don't, you know, the Reddicks, those are big shoes to fill. But as I stand before you, I'm going to come off as prideful or anything like that. But my confidence comes from the fact that I see his promises in his word, and I know what he has called me to. And I have to constantly remind myself what God has told me in his word. Because, I mean, I doubt them. My flesh doubts them. I have to get rid of that nonsense and see God's promises in his work. And just as we serve a God that solely did the work of salvation and offered that free gift to us to take, he did that finished work. It is also his work that he will solely accomplish. I just have to make myself available, right? And my job is just to do this simple thing. It's just to take that next step of faith, to do whatever God has in front of me right now, just to, in obedience, in faith, say, yes, Lord. I will take that step. And it's not because, again, and I've mentioned this, I want to reiterate, it's not because of my intellect or just my determination that we are where we are today. It's because of God's grace. It's because of God giving me another chance as I failed time and time again, that God has, I've let God's loving hand guide me. And I've humbled myself to the fact that God wants to do something with me and my family. And I have to turn away from my will. I have to turn away from the things that I think work and say, yes, Lord, whatever it is for me. And despite my greatest efforts to fail, I was no match for God's grace. God took care of me, amen. And like I said earlier, I do have a fear of failure, that maybe that's perhaps why it took me so long to spiritually mature and grow and actually get grounded in his word and actually have a walk with God instead of a shallow Christianity. Because really, I don't think any of us do, but me especially, probably just because I'm so prideful, but I don't like failure. I mean, it hurts, it's embarrassing. Falling on your face in front of people, I mean, to do something, they say you have to fail because you're trying something. And, you know, when we're doing something for the Lord, what does success mean when we do something for the Lord? It only means obedience. I mean, you look at what is success for, you know, Isaiah and Jeremiah and some of these prophets where God said, you know, it's going to be tough. People aren't going to listen. But to them, that was success because they preached and they gave people an opportunity to hear the word. And what does success look like for us? Well, hopefully in our lifetime, it doesn't look like what it looks like for the New Testament church in Acts as they were, you know, as they were persecuted and endured famine and were spread out, right? But it means just being obedient to what God has for you right now. Amen. But again, I struggle with that because I don't like failings. But here's the problem: you can't take a step of faith if you're not gonna allow for any failure in your life. You're never gonna be able to take a step of faith. And here's the problem: when there's zero risk of failure, then there's zero room for faith. There's no opportunity for you to be obedient for God in the face of what seems like just imminent failure. For our faith to be exercised, for our faith to grow, there has to be a shortcoming of ourselves that we acknowledge, that we see and say, yes, I'm not going to be able to do this thing, along with acknowledging that God has to be part of it, that God has to intervene. And what happens is the fruit of that, the result, is the glory of God. Because otherwise, if we devise everything, if we make plan A, B, C, X, Y, Z, and we have all these backups, and maybe, yeah, we get something done, and maybe it looks like there's results, am I being glorified or is God being glorified? Because, man, there's sometimes where we got to labor and say, man, I don't understand this, or I'm not seeing the fruit that I think needs to be done, but God still is pleased with what we're doing because we're being faithful in it. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, if you will. And we'll look at 2 Corinthians for the next several minutes that we have this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And this is, man, one of the most encouraging passages in the Bible. Really, it depends on where you are with your walk with God. Because, you know, sometimes there's things in the Bible that are discouraging or encouraging, depending where you are walking with God, amen? Mm-hmm. The Ten Commandments are a great example. Man, before you know Christ, the Ten Commandments, it's almost a barrier, right? It's almost like, man, look at all these things that I can't do. But, man, when we know Christ, it becomes 10 opportunities to serve our Savior, 10 opportunities to demonstrate our love for Him. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, let's start in verse number 5, and let's go down to verse number 10. It says, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself will I not glory, but of mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. So just the context as we're getting into these next several verses, Paul was really in an undesirable situation. He was writing here to the church at Corinth. I mean, there was lots of problems here at Corinth. But he was writing to, because there were some at Corinth that were kind of bringing Paul's apostolic authority into question. And so we find Paul at the beginning of this section of scripture, or of this chapter, recalling some revelations he had and trying to kind of establish, yes, the Lord has worked through me in these ways. Paul, one of those potentially when he was stoned at Lystra. But then he goes on, verse number 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So God is working and using Paul, and Paul's now saying, listen, God has allowed me to have this thorn in the flesh, very specifically, that maybe, you know, I wouldn't be lifted above where I would be able to handle it. God was humbling me, and praise the Lord, God understands our weaknesses. He understands our failures, and there's sometimes, and Paul says specifically, we are sometimes experiencing things in our life just to humble us. That is literally the only reason God allows it into our life. And there's not some great grand scheme of things like maybe Joseph being sold into slavery and all these years later God uses him to save millions of people through his revelation, his preparation. But man, God just sent us something just to humble us. And if we reject that, it just proves God's point that we need humbling. But prayerfully, we say, yeah, you know, I needed that. I needed God to kind of knock me down a notch here. And so from that, we can learn that, man, sometimes it's the will of God for sickness in our life. Sometimes it's the will of God for physical failures in our life. And maybe it's not because of just to humble us. Maybe it's because God wants to use that so you can minister to someone else down the line who's going to go through that. Man, I praise the Lord. You know, he gives us hindsight sometimes. He allows us to see the purpose. Not all the time, but sometimes he allows us to see very specifically why he has let us endure some things. And the Lord, man, at our first missions conference was at our church. It was awesome because we were there with, it was us and Joshua Kiska, which is another family, which is also, Kiska's my sister, Joshua is Eternity's brother. So they were there, and then we had the Kellers there as well, and Andrea is Eternity's aunt. So it was really special, but near the end of the missions conference, there was a young man there at the church that I had known most of his life, and he came, and I had shared some counsel with him. Man, how, maybe 5 years ago, he was struggling with something, and well, specifically what it was is his parents were divorced and he was trying to deal with that. My parents were divorced when I was an older teenager. And so I shared some things with him, encouraged them in those things. And I thought it just fell on deaf ears. I just thought it was just, you know, in one ear, out the other. And in that missions conference, he came to me crying and just thanking me for the Lord letting me share that with him. And it helped him through a tough time in his life. And praise the Lord when God does that. I mean, he specifically lets us see, yeah, that's why, or that God used that. Maybe that's not why, but God used that to be able to be a blessing or an encouragement to someone else. But that's not always the case. Sometimes God allows Satan to attack us, loves that sickness, or maybe it's some sort of attack. And that reason is just to say, oh, well, we don't have time, but man, look at Job. And Jesus pointed Job out. Said, hey, how about him? How about you go mess with him? That's not the words he used. But, you know, he tests us. So Paul's trying to defend his authority. He's saying, man, God brought these things into my life to keep me humble. He prayed, verse number 8, for these things I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. So he's asking the Lord, take this away from me. Now, sometimes the answer to our prayers is no. Or it's wait, but it's no for a good reason. But then really, this is the meat of it. Verse number 9. Let's read verse number 9 and verse number 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So just, Paul, he's being questioned, he's being attacked, his integrity, and he's saying he's dealing with these things. He asked the Lord to take it away, but he's saying, man, how, he's saying he's most gladly glorifying in the troubles that he's having because of the grace of God in his life. And I agree with this statement. I don't know who first originally said it, but Paul had the extraordinary ability to see the world through God's eyes. I don't know, I think it was Jonathan Edwards maybe who said, Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. He saw what Christ did for him in light of his wicked, wicked sin. I mean, you think back to the day that you got saved. And you saw yourself for what you were. You understood the wickedness of your sin. You had that godly sorrow for what you had done to put Christ on the cross. And Paul here, as he's suffering these things, he's saying, man, I can glorify these things because of God's grace in my life. The forgiveness that he has given me. But the grace that is sufficient past the forgiveness of sins is also sufficient for the anything that comes to us through day to day in our life. Amen. He says God's grace is sufficient, not just spiritually, but physically. As we face physical problems and emotional stress and times of trouble, God says, lean on me and I'll carry you through. And praise the Lord for that. Leaning on him and yielding to him in the midst of problems, and essentially saying this, Lord, I understand I'm weak. And he goes on in verse number 10, he says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We could reword it this way. When I empty myself, God's able to use me in a greater way. And I understand we have jobs and we have aspirations that we all have, and we have hobbies and we have ways that we fill our time to entertain ourselves. But ultimately, at the end of the day, all those things pale in comparison to what we have lying ahead for us in eternity. And God says, there are some things we have to do. And we can talk about the Great Commission and being a witness, all those things. But drawing close to him, let's not get the cart to the head of the horse here, because what he's saying here is that when he empties himself, God is able to use him in a greater way. And when we are focused on Christ and we allow God to take place in our hearts and be the king and sit on the throne in our lives, amen, then all those things fall into place. We're not fighting to get all these things done and gritting our teeth and grinning and bearing it to go on visitation and tithe and do all these things. What we've done is we've focused on the things instead of our King, instead of our Savior. And maybe the reason I emphasize this so much is like I said at the beginning of my testimony, where I had learned to do all these things. These are muscle memories for me to do. And I'm like, man, I'm doing all these things, but why am I starting to get burdened down with them? Why am I starting to despise them? It's because my priority, I'm starting to peek over here on my flesh, on the world, on the things that I want, instead of resting in God's grace and resting in what God has done for me on the cross and really loving God's love in my life. How was Paul able to do these things? He said, man, the sickness, the trauma, the people attacking me. He's able to have this attitude where he says, Lord, thank you for giving me another opportunity to have faith and allow you to take control. Whereas we often just kind of, we have this knee-jerk reaction sometimes. Instead of turning to God, we just kind of focus on the problem. And again, here's the thesis statement. We write it already. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And so much of our spiritual growth relies on us returning to the cross, returning to what God has done for us. where we were at the end of ourselves, and we understood that there was nothing we could do except throw ourselves at the mercy of Christ. And here's a prayer that's often missing in our lives. Father, please bring me to the point where my strength ends and yours begins. Lord, bring me to a point where my faith must grow. Mm-hmm. In other words, giving the Lord permission and say, Lord, I want to grow. I want to do more. I want to know you more. I want to be closer to you. Lord, bring circumstances in my life where I just have to cling to you. What does that look like? Well, it looks like our flesh screaming out in discomfort. It looks like where only a miracle will work. It looks like taking a step of faith. It looks like the accounts we read in Hebrews chapter 11. Brothers and sisters in the faith who serve God, who are persecuted. Some of them not even ever seeing the fruit of their labor. They didn't even see the end result of what their faith had. I mean, they were with Christ, amen. In the end, but I'm talking about earth, on the earth, they did not see the earthly fruit. So what is your next step of faith? And I'm not trying to preach from you as like a place of superior, like, well, we're on deputation. We're doing what God wants us to do. How about you? But I just want to challenge you because as God has allowed us to serve him, he's come through time and time again. So what is yours? And this is a question I have to ask myself every day as we're on the road and traveling to places. Lord, what is the step of faith you want me to take today? And maybe you've never taken one. You're not sure that your sins are forgiven. You don't even know what you would tell God as you were got to the gates of heaven, why God should let you in. You're not 100% sure that you're saved. Maybe it's a financial step of faith and you weren't given like you ought to. Maybe it's a testimonial step of faith and man, there's someone in your life that you're terrified to share the gospel with. But you know, and the Lord has laid them on your heart, and you have failed to reach out to them. And you haven't even been faithful in praying for them. And these are examples I did because I know that I've done it in my life. Maybe it's a surrendering step of faith, and there's something that the Lord wants you to step up and do within the church. Or in leading your family or doing something within your family, and you have the ability but not the desire. Or maybe you're like, well, Brother Ethan, I really have no idea what that is. We ought to be looking, amen. We ought to be asking, Lord, grow me. Not just this year, not just this month, not just this week, but Lord, today. I want to be closer to you. I want to be stronger in my faith than the day before. Man, when you take a step of faith, you never know how God is going to use you. Amen. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we are thankful that you give us the opportunity to take those steps of faith, Lord. Lord, we know that you're a loving God, Lord, and that you desire that each and every one of us would be so intimately close with you, Lord. That we wouldn't question your will. We wouldn't question the circumstances that you allow into our lives. But Lord, because of our weak flesh, Lord, we have to daily make that choice. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to give us grace in that, Lord, and help us to see what that next step of faith is in our lives, Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.